This podcast is intended for mature audiences only. This podcast will contain adult language and subject matter. It is not suitable for all listeners and ages. In no way does this podcast reflect the other contributors of Good Morning Gloucester, Gloucester Podcast, or Homiecast. Your personal discretion is advised.
Good morning, Gloucester! It's Alicia Unleashed!
Yay!
We are episode 23!
Woo!
It's Michael Jordan's number!
Jay is on my feet.
No. That's what we're doing!
Not number really. 23! They're Skechers.
Homie cast, number 13 probably.
They're at 15 now.
They made it?
They're
double digits?
Yeah.
Okay, I started losing count there for a little bit.
A little bit, you know.
So, we have Alicia Unleashed in the house. We have second timer, Christina.
Yay.
Hello, Christina.
Hello.
And we have B-Side.
What up?
What's going on?
What are you doing?
So, okay. So, I know every time something happens in the celebrity world, we definitely miss it. Okay? So, today we're not going to miss it.
What did we miss?
Doris Rock. Roberts passed at 90. And then, you know, here's what I don't usually understand. First
not
of all,
David Bowie.
Well, I she'll never live it down. Christina, we missed David Bowie's death.
Oh,
and
my.
Like, we did an intro. We didn't even do an intro to him.
We wrote it down.
We even talk about him.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it was a total miss, and she'll never, like, she's traumatized. She will never live it down.
I'm so upset.
So, Doris Roberts made 90. First of all, not for nothing. She looked amazing at 90.
Yes.
I didn't even know that she was that old.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone's like, oh, my God, what a tragic loss. Bitch, she was 90.
That's right.
Okay?
She
lived a full, luxurious, amazing life. She looked amazing.
She was with
and
it.
She died at 90. Completely with it. It's not like the woman died at 60.
She died of natural causes.
At night. Of course, you're going to a 90.
Yeah.
And so I just, so those type of people, you should be celebrating their life, not being like, oh my God, what a tragic loss. Oh my God. Well, what the fuck? Do you think she's going to live to 110? Like, no, for reals. Like, seriously. Like,
no.
How long do you think this woman was going to last?
I just...
The next one, which is going to be a horrible loss, Betty White. I mean, when that happens...
Oh, I know. I feel like they're the same. Both of them.
Right.
I feel like everything they do,
right.
The way they are, I just feel like they're the same. I almost confuse
right.
them.
And
so.
Betty White's amazing. And it's like, she's still with it. She's still going.
She's still
is
working.
It gonna be, she's still working. Is it going to be tragic? No, her life is going to be celebratory. I feel like that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, with every death is usually a birth. So today we want to congratulate John and Karen Conan from Cape Ann CrossFit. She delivered her twins today.
Also my Rowan buddy.
Yep. She looked amazing, obviously, anyway, you know, carrying twins. She was like, her belly was like out to here, but she glowed and she looked amazing. And Karen and John are probably just the sweetest two people I'll ever meet.
Absolutely.
She has that good old Southern charm, that Karen. We love Karen.
Yep.
So we put away our celebrity going-ons and local happenings, and nothing else happened. Like, I'm not missing anything, right?
Actually, I was kind of shocked when I looked at Facebook the other day and saw that Johnny Depp and his girlfriend decided snuck in a dog or something.
They smuggled two dogs into Australia and they forged the customs documents so that she could bring her dogs while he filmed Pirates of the Caribbean. So she forged all their vaccination reports, which is a huge... Oh, my God.
Does he think he lives in a movie or something?
No.
This shit happens in movies.
Well, I mean, he was a pirate, so he's obviously going to smuggle them in. I mean, really?
The apology video is ridiculous.
Yeah.
He's got some weird-ass accent. And I'm not sure where it came from.
Well, what do you mean where did it come from?
He's not French. He's American.
But he lived in France.
It's like Madonna with her English accent.
Oh my God. It's Gwyneth Paltrow with her British accent. I'm like, you lived there for what? 2 years? You're married to a Brit for 2 years? Like, or 3 years. I don't know. I'm like, it was bullshit. Like, absolutely.
So Gwyneth Paltrow. Wait, Chris Martin's... Oh, she was married before.
She was married to Chris Martin.
And he's from Britain?
Yeah.
He lived in Britain?
He's British. Do you not? Did you not know that?
I don't know that, but don't
have
tell.
Have you seen his wait, teeth? She, Kyle knows.
Don't tell Kyle. Don't tell Kyle. She'll get mad. She'll be like, Alicia, how do you not know that Chris Martin is British?
I didn't know. Seen his teeth?
No, I don't pay attention.
You got some teeth.
If Chris Martin walked through this door right now,
I would have
no idea who he was.
No recollection.
I'm sorry, Kyle.
We watched the Super Bowl together.
I know, but it's
we
not
watched
like,
the halftime together. Did you not see him?
I mean, I saw him, but
all those colors kind of confused him.
You know what I mean?
I
was like, you know who was
red
like,
and yellow and green and blue and purple
yeah,
and black.
It's not like
yes.
Yeah, it's not like he's hot enough where I'm going to be like, oh,
oh no,
yeah.
No, no, no. He's not the hot one of that group. The drummer is.
Okay, so they definitely would never recognize him.
Yeah, no.
Probably not.
So he could walk in the store right now.
He's tall and lanky enough that you would recognize. He's a well-put-together person that you would probably be like, that's an interesting...
Well, just wait until he opens his mouth and starts talking.
Yeah. No.
Oh, I've never even heard him speak.
I haven't either.
Nothing. No. That's really interesting. But anyway, him and Gwyneth Paltrow uncoupled?
They are consciously uncoupled.
And when did that happen?
Maybe like 2 or 3 years ago or something.
Oh, wait.
Like
I'm way behind.
I am yeah. So glad this just happened like last week.
I know. She refers to him as her children's father.
Ugh. Oh, how long
or
were they
her children's dad.
All right, how long were they married for?
I don't know, like, maybe they were married for, like, 7 years, because Apple's, like,
they
eight
were?
Or nine. Yeah.
And that's Apple's father.
Apple and Moses' father, yes.
They have, so, why?
She has
why?
Two kids.
Why would they be, like,
it's
Apple
a conscious
and Moses?
Uncoupling. They just, he went back on tour. She was not feeling it.
And then
she's,
that's her new, that, so, obviously, her word, her phrase never caught on.
Oh, no, it did.
It did.
Oh, absolutely. Have you? Where have you been?
Wait, what phrase? I'm a little confused.
Conscious uncoupling.
I never heard of it.
See, Christina, I haven't either.
Not never.
Oh my
I
god, it was
either.
A huge thing. People refer to it or reference it all the time because.
So who else is referencing
so
this?
So she has a website called Goop, G-O-O-P, and she does $200 smoothies. She does colonics. She does all this like vegan, earthy crap.
Wait, what's the website about Goop?
It's about all this, like, cooking and, like, healthy lifestyle and everything like that.
Well, geez, being, like, you know, a famous actress,
like,
you would have thought somebody would have been home, like, making her the food. But,
like, radio
hey,
stations,
you know, whatever.
Radio stations talk about it. Like, they'll be like, oh, well, they're consciously uncoupled. Especially around the time of the Super Bowl because they were talking about Gwyneth and Chris.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So has like a so, detox skincare recipes.
Yeah.
So
what? Yeah.
So who who else is using this term conscious uncoupling?
You know, it's in 2014 there was a huge media storm because that's when she announced it.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's like on the Mindy Project and stuff like that. There's a huge blog post about it. It's the 5 steps of living happily even after.
I love that. Will you send that to me?
Yeah. It's called consciousuncoupling.com.
Get out.
I'm not.
What, did she create that site?
She probably did, or someone created it for her, like one of her super fans or something like that.
What, a.k.a. Bridget?
I'm not a fan of Gwyneth Paltrow. I actually, if I could get away with beating her with a hammer, I would.
You know what?
Whoa.
You know
whoa,
what?
Whoa.
Her head should have stayed in that box.
What box?
People who watch the movie Seven will know what I'm talking about.
Oh, no, I would not watch that movie, no.
That was such a
no,
weird movie.
Yeah,
weird,
I would,
very
I would,
dark. I wasn't a fan.
Yes,
I was like,
I
couldn't
like
even watch
things.
It because I was like,
that's scary. I don't
of,
like...
What's going on?
One of my favorite Kevin Spacey movies.
Yeah, that is a good one.
I like Kevin that. Bacon in it?
No, Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey, wacko.
Oh.
And Brad Pitt.
So conscious uncoupling is just another word for divorced or separated. Divorced.
But
in
a simply nice way, I guess.
Yes, a nicer way of saying divorced.
Oh, so.
Because divorced has a stigma.
Yes. Oh my God, does it? Are you freaking kidding me? Does it?
I wouldn't know.
And it's like 9 out of 10 people have this like crazy stigma. Actually, probably 9.99.99 people have this like crazy stigma on what separation is or should be, what divorce is or should be. And frankly, I'm just like sick of it. Like, I'm just like, can't two people beat the norm or be that point.
No, because society doesn't want people to be happy with each other or be just civil with each other. That is not how
society likes the drama.
Yeah.
Well, not I don't know
where that came from. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
I just think that's how it
is. I haven't drank alcohol in like 4 days. I'm so sorry.
I think that's the way it is, though, now that society thinks that way. And it's kind of bad because, you know so many people and they know people and they know people. And it's like a click. You know what I mean? It all happens and you go on and people don't judge you to a point. But
they don't
then
judge
it's like,
you,
after
but they,
a while,
they don't judge you, but they question.
Well, exactly.
They question motives. They question, yeah. Well, you're going to do it this way, but oh my God, this one and this one, this one and this one and this one and this one, this is what happened to them. And are you sure that you want to go that way? And we're like,
and we don't even know if that's
true,
first of all, because once it goes to one person, second, third, you never know what's the truth.
Right.
And the thing is that, obviously we live in a big city with small town mindset that, certain people...
We do not live in a big city. We live in a small town.
This is a big city.
It is not a big
city.
It
is. Population-wise,
well,
it is
not
a big
city. But everybody in this big, small city knows each other. So that was probably makes it small.
No. People, it is a big city with small town
mentality.
Yes. Thank you.
Island mentality is what I like to call it.
Right.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people, I know a lot of people that have divorced and are in other great relationships. But when they were in that phase of divorce, people were like, oh my God, you're getting divorced? And now they're in these great relationships and no one even talks about that last part.
No,
and it's
because
like,
everyone gets past it. Like,
I feel like I don't even... Well, what happens
if
so often now that you don't even...
It doesn't even faze you,
exactly.
If you can
like,
get away with it without anybody knowing, which is great. You know
that's
what
right.
I mean? Like, if you are living, if you can live your life under your personal life under the radar, which most and some celebrities actually can get away with, some celebrities can actually get away with things under the radar, and you're like, where did that happen? Well, it's their private life. What they happened
that's
with
right.
them happened with them. So that's great. And then others like to just, throw it out there and just be like, whatever. But Bridget, so
yeah.
Do you think, because you say we live in this big, small town, do you feel that social media needs to play a part in that type of, in that type of role when you are consciously uncoupling?
I think for aspect of social media, I have friends that decided not to say that they're divorced. But just
consciously uncoupling.
No, but Facebook does not give you that option. You're divorced, separated, or single.
Well, isn't there like a confusing?
There's it's complicated.
That's what it is, yeah.
But that's more on the dating aspect is how social media's algorithm was created. So I feel like some of my friends just put, I don't think they did separated or divorced. They just went back to single. And a lot of them, you found out they were no longer with their husband or wife because their last name changed or all the photos were missing.
Correct.
That's
how I would notice it. I think with more of the photos.
And
so how about the last name is still always the same and pictures never gone away?
I have some friends that haven't changed back their name and I'm like, what are you doing there? It's been 7 years? And it's because they said, one of them had said, because their family and their in-laws' family and people around them, their friends and stuff, still put them in a box as to that they're still together, even though they haven't been together in 7 years. They're still technically married in the process of going through a divorce, but everyone still wants to push them together because they have a child or and it's one of those things. It's like, you know what? I'm a child of the divorce. I don't get it. I've known my father, never really had him in my life to actually understand what it's like to have a mommy and a daddy in different places.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand that.
Right.
I've always had my mom, I've always had my uncles, I've always had my grandfather, and that was it. So, even my friends that are grown-ass adults, their parents are finally divorcing after 25 years, they're like, I can't process this, oh my God. It's like, they probably haven't been together in so long They were just waiting until you were old enough. And they're like, right. What am I going to do? It's like, it doesn't affect you.
Right. They probably did it when they were older just because they can handle it better. I mean, right. That's the easiest way to do it if you're going to do it at all.
Or
I mean,
you do it like my mom does and do it before I'm born.
Or people just don't divorce and just settle with who you got and be lucky, okay? Jeez.
Why do you sound bitter, Christina? Christina, why do you sound so bitter?
People always complaining about what they have, but what if they don't have something?
That's right.
I don't have McDonald's french fries.
I do have McDonald's
coffee. You don't know when it's got till it's gone.
I don't have brownies, Talia. Just kidding.
What? We don't got no brownies over here, Talia.
I need some brownies.
Then I'm ready yet?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just give me a can of frosting. I'll be fine.
So we're going to switch gears a little bit because...
Yay! Thank you.
We went into this, like, really, like...
We went really weird
and however that was like not obviously not planned, but you know that's what happens when you have conversations. It just goes from one topic to another and it just makes sense. So we're gonna pull it back onto the positive side. And because, I don't know how positive this is gonna be.
Bring it on, Alicia.
But we talked a-
made a weird noise.
So last time, I mean, the last couple of times, we brought up, you know, hey, people, have you been on the Tinder?
Oh, the Tinder.
Oh, the Tinder. And what have
what
you
was
been doing?
Tango?
Tango
was Tango was like a FaceTime.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so now we're going to go back. We're going to bring it way back.
To the dating. No, boy.
So we're going to talk about first dates. So
I've been on plenty of those.
So,
have we?
Just not second dates.
Plenty of firsts. No second or thirds. Just
no second or thirds. We just go for the first.
So it's awkward anyway to have a first date, but yet you really think about all those things that go along with it, and you overthink things. It's about overthinking things. Oh my God! Like. Especially if it's been a long time or you've been on several, it doesn't matter. You know, Kyle would have been perfect for this. Because I'm not going to go into that.
We
miss you, Kyle.
Christina, but we want you too.
Yes.
Come on. Come back to us, Kyle.
So there's a lot of like subconscious things that happen. So like, you know, when you're on a first date, you want to be yourself. You don't want to be yourself. It depends. If you're loud, you don't want to be as loud. If you want to,
it is
you don't want to scare anyone off. You kind of just, so I guess it depends. So my first thing is swearing on the first date.
Well, first of all, I think the first date thing is weird anyways, because as you get older, it's not like so scary as when you were 16, 18.
Yes, it is.
You know what I mean?
I still think
no, but like if you hang out with people and you go out to dinner, is that considered a date?
No.
Or is it you're going out? No, if it's just you and your significant other, is that a date? Or is that just going out to get something to eat? What do you consider a date?
There's a difference between dining out and eating out.
Now, what if you go to like a movies with your guy friend who is not your boyfriend and then it just kind of falls into a relationship? What do you call that?
Like after the movie?
Well, like your friends
relationship.
Well, your friends to begin with, and that's how you know most of them start. Is kind of like you're friends with them, you know each other.
You got a friendship.
Correct.
Okay.
So then, if you know you're just playing around and you're saying, "Yeah, well, just want to go out see a movie tonight. It's raining out. There's nothing else to do. Everybody else is out. Want to just go see a movie?"
Yeah.
And then it just kind of one thing leads to another, and then it's like, okay, a movie, and then 2 weeks later you might go out for a dinner. Is that considered a date? A second date?
Well, if you're already friends with them first, this is, I guess it falls under like a different like thing. Like I would say this whole first date kind of thing would, I mean, if you're friends with somebody first and then that happens and it all falls into play, that's usually the ideal situation. But let's say you're out with those bunch of friends and you meet someone brand new and they dig you and they're like, "Let me have your number." And then you need to get to know them. And then they say, "Let's go get dinner."
Yeah.
Okay, so then now
that's where it gets a little awkward.
Now you have a first date.
There you go. Put it like that, I guess.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now you're on this first date with somebody that, you know, maybe you were all friends with, but this is someone that's new. When it's a friend, it's completely different.
Yeah.
Yes.
Completely.
Because otherwise I've been dating your brother-in-law for a long time.
Yes, you've been on many dates with Mike. Many dates.
Not true at all, Mike.
No kissing though.
No. Okay. No. We're not at that. No.
No. Just to clarify.
We just eat lots of food and go to lots of movies and bitch at each other right afterwards. It's great.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So, bringing it back to somebody that maybe you have met through friends or online or whatever it is, and you're on your first date, are you conscious about what you say, how loud you are? Do you swear? If you're someone that would swear on a normal basis, like what does that look like?
It all depends. Like, when I go on a first date, if I'm meeting this person and, like, say we've been texting for a few days or whatever, and we go on this date, I'm pretty much waiting, like, the groundwork. It's just like when I go to parties. It's just when I go to cookouts. I am a wallflower until I find a group of people that's going to let me in. So if someone's talking about, like, music or, you know, something like that, I'll be like, ooh, I have an opinion about that. And then if I feel comfortable, I'm going to turn on my switch and I'm going to be myself. I'm going to be Bridget. There are other, I have a reserve Bridget. We could say that, like, there's Sybil in here. Like, you know, I've got multiple personalities when it comes to
like everyone does.
It's just like, come on out. I mean, for the most part, I don't want to say, like, I treat a first date, like, with professional, like I'm meeting a client or something like that.
It's an interview.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, you know, I'm reserved about what I tell them because
I feel the less you talk, the better off you are.
Yeah, and you don't want them to know.
That's how I roll.
You don't want them to know everything on the first date, because what's the point of the second or third date?
That's right. No, of course, right.
You know, and...
But do you hold back? Like Christina, like, you're a robust voice, right?
Yes.
And you have a lot to say. And so, do you hold back at all the first time of meeting someone? Are you just like... Here I am, because
I don't
care what anybody says
about
me.
I feel like they might come at me because they hear me, so it's them that come to me. I would be almost afraid to go to them. You know what I mean? Like, I could be at a concert, and I could just be hanging out with my friends, and, you know, this, that, and the other thing happens, and then all of a sudden they hear a voice over this, they want to see who it is and what they're talking about, and I think that kind of breaks the ice a little bit for me.
But what about on a first date, when you're first getting to know somebody?
Like Bridget said, it's more reserve until you feel comfortable. I mean, if it's a topic that you know of, or if you, you know, like softball with me. Like, a lot of people, it's hard because they might not know softball, and softball's like my life. I know everything about it. So I kind of bring something up that I know about, and I feel a lot more comfortable doing it that way. But then I obviously ask them, like, what do you guys like, and what do you do? And I sort of just kind of pretend if I don't do what they do. Kind of like pretend to do what they do. You know what I mean? Like, if they like bowling or something.
Yeah, be pretend that you're interested.
You know what I mean? Like, you sort of have to. And then you never know. I mean, bowling could be fun if you're not a bowler and then you want to go do bowling somewhere else. Or, I mean, it's, I don't know. It's kind of weird. Being the robust voice is... But it's good and bad, I think.
Yeah, because you have to really watch what you say.
Yeah,
and if you tend to throw swear words or F words in your everyday conversation, which I feel like I have more and more as I've gotten older and my kids have gotten older, that I just kind of throw swear words in and whatever. So it's like, you know, I don't know. It's like
I feel like once, if they swear... You know, it's kind of like, in a weird way, it's like shocking me. I'm like, whoa, you're going to pull that out on a first date? All right, I'll go. I'll meet you head, like, you know, face off. Let's do this. Like, I'll get that's kind of like my green light to be like, oh.
Yeah, it opens you up and you can breathe and you can stop stressing about it. I mean, that's huge when they open up like that, I think.
And I've also learned in the last few years, too, when, like, what Christina said is when they say, oh, I'm interested in bird watching or whatever, or making, like, craft beer. I'd be like, I like to drink craft beer, but I know nothing about it, because they might have the opportunity to be like, oh, let me tell you about it, or let's go do this, and opens that up.
Like the second date?
Yeah, I've been learning a little bit more about being honest with, yeah, I know nothing about that, and them telling me, oh, well, it's about this. It's like,
it leads to conversation.
Awesome. Yeah.
And you kind of learn, and it makes them comfortable as well, because they like to talk about it, you know what I mean, obviously. So I think it makes them a little
So another thing would be, do you stay away from certain foods on the first or second date? Or do you say what you like or you don't like right away? Like, how does that work? So if the person's like, hey, so what's like your favorite food? And if you say sushi and that person hates sushi, well, then that sucks. So then you're like, all right, you know, I like steak and I don't. Okay, first of all, never dated vegetarian or vegan. That would probably never go over well.
No. I mean, so that's not true.
Like, do you stay away? Like, do you ever say, like, we're going to go for Mexican on the first date? Or are you ever going
to,
like...
See, I feel like you have to go to a natural, like, not a natural, but a neutral place. You know what I mean? Like, that has everything. That has the seafood, the sushi, the pasta, the steak, the chicken. I feel like
usually those are not very good.
Well, it depends on where you go. And, you know, like, obviously, you know, the hometown areas. I mean, I would, like, rather go to Newburyport because there's so many options. Or anywhere else. Because it's not here, you know what I mean?
Right.
So they might cook something a little bit different out there that you might like.
Newburyport has a little bit of everything.
They do.
They have the Michaels.
Love that.
They have Michaels, who does have a little bit of everything.
Yep.
Then they have the Black Cow, which is more towards steak. Then they have Agave, which is the Mexican. Then they have, I mean, they have...
The Grog, which is like pub-like.
Exactly. So Newburyport is like a little bit of... It's. I would definitely recommend Newburyport.
Yeah. Or Portsmouth, something like that area. Exactly. Yeah,
I think Newburyport is on fleek. Do you like that word, Bridget?
No.
Do you like that word?
No.
Bridget, you like that word?
No.
Because you can really be like, all right. Is that a swear word?
No, I'm making it one.
Nice. Like, you could say, meet me in Newburyport, we'll figure it out when we get there.
Exactly.
And then you could go to, you know, Agave, and then you could take a walk down on the boardwalk, because their boardwalk is very
beautiful.
Long and beautiful, yeah. And it's awesome there. I mean, it is a very, Newburyport's a cool place.
Yeah. There's always something going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the whole food thing, I don't know if I would stay away from the food. I mean, it is what it is.
It's better to open it up, kind of like if you're like, hey, let's, or if he's, or they are like, hey, you know, we should grab something to eat. Like, you know, let's go out for dinner. It's like, that's when you should open it up and be like, great. My favorite question to ask is, what is one of your favorite dishes to eat? And they could say, well, I'm allergic to seafood, or I'm allergic to peanuts, or I'm allergic to chilies, or I'm allergic to tomatoes.
What's the allergic thing from? I don't know. No one has a day one that's allergic to everything.
Some people are. No, I'm not saying altogether, but I'm saying as an example, I've gone on dates where people are allergic to certain things, or they don't like certain things. They don't like the smell of seafood. Like I know someone that you
mentioned. Could see Christina's face right now. Are you appalled? Like,
absolutely
not.
Maybe that's just because I live in Gloucester. I don't know. I mean, seafood is.
I hate seafood.
Seafood has such a different smell than everything you cook. Fish, lobster, everything.
Everything. Everything's different.
I mean, can you screw up anything with garlic? Honestly, if you love garlic. You can put anything in garlic, and it tastes more like garlic than fish.
Well, here's the problem. If you're going on a first date, and you choose something that has garlic in it, you understand where all this food thing is leading to. It's leading to the first kiss.
Yes.
Which usually happens on the first date. So that's what I'm trying
Bring
to get
a piece
at.
Of gum.
We're trying to get at that, you know, good old fashioned stereotypical. Have you ever been on a good old fashioned cliche stereotypical movie like date?
Not in a while.
Maybe I should get the Jeopardy soundtrack out. Do 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 do.
Does that even exist anymore?
No, it doesn't. No.
I think that's what the question is. It's not have you ever.
Like, what
exists?
Like, what is your cliche? Like, going for milkshakes and then kissing them?
Like the guy opening the door for you.
Yes.
Bringing your mother flowers and, I mean, typical movie, The Notebook type deal.
I didn't say bring it way back to the
50s. Oh, he stole her from.
I didn't say I hate that movie. I did because I had to cry my eyes out, but whatever.
I didn't say bring it back to 1950, my friends.
I'm trying to find out what cliche are you talking about?
Okay.
Because right now, I mean, I've been in the dating world for a while, and I'm not sure what kind of cliche you're even referencing.
Okay, all right.
Go on.
Okay. So it would be, nowadays,
people meet at places. Yeah. It's not like the boy next door or your next door neighbor. We're not talking about the 1950s here.
No, because
we're talking about serial killers. Mm-hmm. So we'd be, you know, to meet at an establishment and out in front, they open the door for you. Okay, that's number one. That's that.
Which nobody does anymore.
Excuse me, I raised my son that way.
Yeah, but your son is like 12. I can't date your son.
Get you there, mom. But those fathers that raise their kids that way. So there are men out there that raise their kids to be that way. So let's so Christina, bring it back. You see a 12-year-old that opens the door for you. Ask if his dad's married.
Yes.
How about that? Because they learn their manners from the mama and the dad.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll bring it back. So woo. Opening the door for
I'm
you.
Excited.
I'm excited. Now you're like yes.
Okay. Come on, guys. Bring it on.
Open the door. It's all Christina. You have her at you. Open the door.
That's right.
Woo. Open the door for you. You know, and then also we're talking about modern guys that let the lady lead instead of them taking over. Again, we're not talking about 1950s. So walking in the door, the hostess says, would you like to sit at the bar or would you like to sit at a table? And it's usually the woman that is deciding, we'll sit at the bar, sit at a table, or the woman is talking to the man saying, do you want to sit at a bar table? You decide right and then there, and then you go sitting down the table, having normal conversation, like back and forth, like crazy normal conversation. So how were you brought up? How's this? How's that? You know, just what do you do for work? How do you, you know? How's your everyday life?
Leaving Are you meeting them. This person not online or anything like that? That you're not having communication before you go on this date?
Well, I mean, I'm talking about in depth. You're not going to talk about how you grew up with somebody through text or on the phone before you go on a date. You got to leave something for the date, right?
That's right. Right. But like,
but still, I'm talking about like in depth conversation, like mm-hmm. you know, more in depth than
like you have your drink and you wait for your dinner.
What are you not bringing up my daddy issues like first on the date? Sorry.
I'm not talking. It doesn't have to be like that, you know. So then, anyway, then you're after, then right then. So, what do you want to do next? Because you know, most dates are very unplanned. What do you want to do next? And then, depending on your like, let's pretend we're in Newburyport, because we're just talking about Newburyport. So, hey, do you want to go take a walk on the boardwalk? Or you want to go take a walk on the water? Now you're walking down there. All of a sudden, you're holding hands. I'm talking very this is very stereotypical cliche. Correct. First date stuff. And then you're sitting on the bench and then you share your first kiss, right? Has this stuff never happened?
Well, I just feel like it doesn't happen as often as
it does not happen.
No, yeah. It all depends on if you're also attracted to them. If you walk into it and you're like, no, you're not, you're phoning it in. Like
A friend? You're gonna phone a friend.
No, you phone it in, you just get through it. Like, I don't text my friends. I don't do the emergency call because I'm a terrible faker at that kind of stuff. Like, oh my God, my friend's, like, house is on fire. Like, bitch, call somebody else. Like, I'm on a date. I know where they are.
Everything now has changed, so it's hard to get someone that actually does that. Which, it's not a bad thing, and I wish it more happening all the time, but it doesn't happen like that
it did
anymore.
When we were in high school.
You know, and like I think that's college. Why it's a little bit... I don't know, I can't say it's easier because it's obviously not, but I don't know, maybe the first date isn't as stressful as people think it really is.
I feel like my outfit is super stressful.
That's what I'm
my eye makeup.
I can't even go to yoga, okay, with my pants don't fit right, so I can't imagine me going on a first date. I mean, really? So, I mean, I would panic if I ever had to do something like that. I wouldn't even know what to do with myself. Honestly. Like, I was afraid you'd come over in a sweatshirt tonight. So, I mean, I guess I stress out about different things. I guess.
So,
but it doesn't happen as often, you know.
So let's bring it back to the other side, that if you're having a first date that doesn't work out and say that the person's digging you and you're not digging them, what excuses have you made or
how do you get out of it? Because that person wants that person wants to say, hey, what do you want to do next? You want to go down and then, you know, down to the boardwalk and walk the, or you want to walk around or whatever you're, you know? And then you're like, in your head, you're like, oh, I'm definitely not digging this person. So how do we get out of this?
I'm kind of tired and I got a really early day.
Well, I was going to say, it depends on when your date starts. You know, yeah, right.
Let's pretend 6 o'clock dinner.
All
right. 6 o'clock dinner is tough because then you have the rest of the night. You can't use the excuse as I'm tired or I want to do this.
No, you just eat a lot. You just eat a lot of food and then you're like, oh my God, food.
And then you feel like a fat pig. Forget it. But I think, I don't know. I mean, I would rather prefer a later date just in case of that happening. That would be my hard stop. You know what I mean? Like, let's do like a 7:30, or I like to eat late anyway. I don't like to eat because I come home and do my stuff, but I would rather start a little later. Then you have an excuse to leave, you know? Like, oh, I can't do this until 6:30.
Are we giving up our game plans?
No.
Like, would you ever say, you know what, I'm just not interested, let's call it a night? Do you have the heart to do that?
I don't think so.
I don't. Mm-mm. I would have to wait until the next day to see if they even text back. Because there's a good chance they may not text back. And you're like, no skin off my teeth. Bye.
Well, just think, they could be just as scared as you.
Yeah. I try to give them a second shot.
Yeah.
I always try to give them a second shot. But there are some guys that I've been like...
See, the second shot would be a good day. Would be like a baseball game or something that it's just not you two. It's more of a social thing. I think that would be a perfect second date. If you feel awkward, you know what I mean? Because then everyone
like
around
bowling.
You. Yeah, like there's people bowling and there's people. I mean, I wouldn't go to the fireworks ceremony and be like, oh, big firework. I would go to something that's more.
Okay, how do you think about the movies even on a second
terrible.
Or third date?
Absolutely terrible. Don't do it.
And why are you so adamant about that?
Because you're still trying to get to know this person, so you're going to sit in a room with them for 2 hours, not talk to them.
Right.
You're going to be in close proximity to them.
Right.
And then try and get to know them afterwards.
Right.
What if they like the movie and you find the movie horrifying or terrible?
Right.
You know, like you have to kind of agree on that. I would say that's more like a fourth or fifth date.
I agree that the movies are, you know, something when I think you've been seeing someone for a little bit because you're not speaking for 2 hours.
And a lot of people, like, even
that's
on
tough,
Plenty
yeah.
of Fish, they're like, your ideal first date is like dinner and a movie. I'm like, no one goes to dinner and a movie.
No,
because number one, you're
movies.
Going to dinner and then you're going to the movie. That means you're going to eat more food at the movie.
That's right.
You or if you're going to go to the movie, you're not going to talk.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's like, what do you do there?
Right, exactly. So what do you think what do you think the worst places for a first date is?
A movie or bowling.
Moving or bowling?
Well,
why do you say bowling?
I think bowling's a good way. It depends on what you do at bowling. If there's, you know, if it's a fun, like, dark bowling, like, what is it, cosmic bowling or whatever it's called, and you can have a beer or two and kind of let loose, that is a lot easier than going to, like, I don't even know if they have, like, regular bowling anymore,
yeah, they
honestly.
Do. Caveman bowling.
Yeah, that's cosmic at night.
At night, yes.
You know what I mean?
But
who's going to go to bowling at 4 o'clock in the afternoon? Come on now.
Someone does not want this date to go all night, you know?
Just not, but...
I feel like, I don't know, one of the dates I went on, I was not interested in the dude, and I was forced to kind of, like, stick with it. And we ended up going bowling, and I was totally eyeing the guys in the next lane and talking with them. But the dude that I was technically on the date with was doing some strange stuff during bowling, and I was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna leave after this."
I think the worst
after
date,
I kicked his ass too, because I kicked his ass in bowling.
I think the worst first date would be going to dinner with their family.
Oh, who the heck would even agree to that?
You know, there's people out there that do it. I've seen it, you know, so
oh
it's
God,
like,
no,
I don't know.
What is this, the Duggars?
Well, it's weird. You don't see it often, but it's almost the same thing as, you know, them putting the whole stereotypical first date thing. I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, I've heard of people.
Or running into their parents at the same restaurant.
Oh, you're at a cookout. Hi. Like, it's summer day, and it's like July, and it's hotter than hot outside, and you're just kind of sweating, and you're like, oh, my parents are having a cookout with the neighbors. Do you want to come over and have
some? No,
social circles.
I would never do that.
I would
never
invite somebody to
so
do that.
So that would be the first date, but it happens.
Yeah.
No.
I would never invite, I would, you know, it takes me a long time. I mean, I also have to continue to date you in order. That's the obstacle here. To even introduce you to my social circles.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I had some people that...
Okay, how long would you... Okay.
It depends.
All right. It depends on what. Like, say that you're totally digging this person totally digs you. So, when do you know it's right? And not for nothing, do you only... Do you only introduce them... to your couples of friends at first. So, like, if you have one person, would you be like, oh, hey, I have so-and-so. They're my best friends. We're going to go to dinner with them first. And then you would meet them and maybe hang out with them more and kind of keep it in that much of an inner circle instead of like, hey, here's, like, 40 of my friends. Hi.
Yeah, I have so many different circles of friends. I'd have to see who they would vibe best with.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But
so
like,
if you had, you know, a couple or two friends or, a few friends that you best vibed with and you know that person best vibe with and you introduce them first, maybe even a few times to kind of get it and then move forward.
I would do a social setting thing like going bowling, for instance, going to King's or, you know... Like, hey, there's a
what if this couple has their own house and they'd like to cook dinner and cook out? And like, what if you and that person went to someone's house to cook out and that's how you met? Like, I'm talking about that type of setting.
So if you, I feel like, first of all, your social is your friends, okay? So, you know, say I want to bring, we're over here, you know, having a cookout in the backyard and it's 5 or 6 of us. Well, I'm going to give you guys the heads up before I even
of course
come over, okay? And be like, oh, I'm going to bring this guy over. You know, we've been talking for a little bit. You know, that might be the icebreaker right there.
My friend would be like, when do I get to meet this
But some people might not, so that would be the icebreaker right there. And then, you know, go over there and do what you normally do. I mean, don't go crazy. Have a couple beers and make them feel comfortable. And then after, just be like, all right, you want to head out and go do something else for a while? You don't have to see the whole night, but bring him there and then go out after with just... The two of you.
But
you know what I mean?
But what if you're with somebody and they're totally vibing with your friends and they're having
conversations? Then you stay. That's an automatic you stay.
Yeah. I mean...
Absolutely. Because the hardest thing is getting them comfortable with your friends.
Yeah.
But you know how you would know if they're the right person for you is if they vibe and can chill with your friends so easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the number one indicator.
That's right.
If you're bringing someone over that can't even have a conversation with your friends... Probably not someone that you would
Well, your
want.
Friends will also give you a heads up and say, yeah, that guy didn't
That's
work.
The same way with your friends, too. Out. Like, if you've got a certain circle over here and you've got another circle of friends here, and just so happens that you're having the cookout and you're inviting both circles, they might not mesh together either. And it's like, it's the same thing. It's, you know, it's one of those things where you need to, you'll know, like, you know what? You are hella cool. You know what? My friends want to meet you. If you're down, let's do this. Like, let's go here.
And I think, like, 80% of the dates and stuff now are, like, people that you're almost attracted to. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I feel like you know how comfortable that you are with them, and they like you for that. I think if you act like that with your friends, then it's going to be easy. You know what I mean? Like,
right,
I feel
right.
like that's a way to mesh that way. I mean, I'm going to go out with somebody that's talkative, likes sports, you know, likes dogs and does whatever. I'm not going to go with somebody that plays the piano and, you know, has turtles. I mean, that just, it doesn't work with me. You know what I mean?
Right.
It would, if it had to, if their dog died or whatever and they got a turtle, that's fine. But I feel like you find your...
Hopefully you communicate that for the second date or something.
But I feel like you actually know your style of people before you go out, you know what I mean,
yeah.
to... That's how I see it. You know, like,
yeah.
you're going to mesh with them first.
Right, exactly.
You might not even feel comfortable bringing them there.
Right, and that's
you
the thing.
I mean?
That's the thing. Okay, if you don't feel comfortable with... So say you meet someone, and you're like, yeah, you're cool, we totally vibe. And then you're thinking in your head, oh my God, if I brought this person around my friends...
They're going to kick
they would totally kill me.
Yeah.
Guess what? End it. Because if you can't bring this
exactly.
person
that's
around your
friends
or around your family... Then
is it,
you shouldn't be with them.
But is it just you thinking, like, you in your head being like, oh, no, they're not going to mesh well? They may mesh well. Like,
Then I think you have to take that chance.
Yeah.
If you take that chance, or if you're thinking like...
But like, your friends should not matter.
Okay, here's the thing. All right, let's... All right. Let's... I'm not going to use you in a bad way, Bridget.
Oh. People are listening, by the way. I know. People are listening.
I understand.
I hope you understand this.
I do.
Do you understand the words coming out of my mouth?
I do, but here we go.
Fucking Christ.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, you might just throw the whole thing in there.
Sorry, Jesus. I'm sorry, Jesus.
He's hammering down on us.
Okay, no.
Oh, we're talking about religion. Sorry.
She doesn't even know what I'm about to say.
That's the worst part.
She doesn't even know. All I'm saying is that, okay, so like myself, okay, I have a quirky sense of humor. Oh. I have a quirky personality, and I'm corny, and that's, I can be. You... take it to a little bit of a different level. You're kind of like superhero geek. Like, you know, like,
different pop culture.
Okay. You know pop culture.
Thank you.
Superhero geek pop culture.
I don't know. I'm not into.
You can kind of like, well, I mean, you hung out with my brother-in-law, and he's kind of super geek, too.
Yeah, but he and I argue about a lot of stuff. Like, I have never seen The Godfather, and he thinks that's disgraceful.
So you have, like, this different super geek, quirky personality than I do. Like, I'm probably at one level.
I am a rare breed.
You are. Okay, thank you. Okay?
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Where was I going with this?
I don't know.
So you were going to your friend's house, and they thought,
oh, okay. So anyway.
She'll go with my hand.
Thank you. So you meet someone on your level of super geek, quirky, weirdness, right?
I love it.
Okay. So you have friends that are not like that. And so you're like, can I bring this person? Because you're jiving well with them because they're at your super geek level.
Yeah.
But doesn't mean the rest of your inner circles are going to appreciate that. And you're like, oh my God, this guy is so super geek. Do I bring him around?
If my inner circle can tolerate me.
Yes.
And there's a male that comes into my life. Number one, they're going to be super fucking stoked. And number two, if they can tolerate me and my quirkiness, then they may be able to tolerate his quirkiness.
Okay.
Now, the only problem is, can I handle his quirkiness with my friends? Is a different game.
And that's why you cut it short.
And that's why
I get up to the cookout and you leave and say, oh, we only can stay for a little while if you're if you're nervous about them meshing well. Say, okay, we'll come to the cookout, but we can't stay long. We have something else to do.
Yeah,
we'll swing
by. I will know right away if they're meshing well, and I'm not gonna. But I even said this on the Valentine's Day podcast that more than likely, if there was an exact clone male version of me, I probably wouldn't like them.
Oh my God, I've met the male version clone of me, and it didn't work out. Like, it's scary when you actually meet the male clone version of yourself. It's scary.
You know why it's like that? I think it's because it's competition.
Scary.
It's because you yourself, like, I would never go out with somebody that is the same softball player as me or Rose because that's my thing. I don't want you to have my thing.
Yes!
I don't want you to, you know, be that champion rower or be that first place softball player because I want to be that person. And if we're going to not connect and we're going to be in competition with each other, it won't
work. Not even competition with each other. I'm talking same mannerisms. I'm talking same, like, the way that you speak. And it's
irritating.
It wasn't irritating.
But it's also self-reflection.
Holy
shit. Is that me?
I say that in that way. My motivations are in that way. You're at my level, like my thought process, like you're in my thought process, like you're on my level. And there's not many people that I meet that are really on my level.
That's right.
And it's scary when you meet someone like, holy shit, like you're on my level.
Mm-hmm.
And
that'd be weird. Yeah, I don't know if I can do that.
It was weird. Didn't last, but it was weird. And it was something right away that I was like, holy crap, it was weird.
Yeah.
It was so weird. So nowadays, when we talked about social media, okay, so nowadays we can not only meet someone on social media, talk to them, FaceTime, text. We have constant contact with that person. So do labels accelerate because of social media? So you're constantly, you could constantly talk to this person through text, and you could see them a few more times than you would normally because you always know what the other person is doing. Mm-hmm. So does 3 dates equal to like 7 now? Like, how does like this communication change? Is communication and social media changing it?
I feel like if you're doing like, if you're having 3 dates within a span of a week and a half to 2 weeks, you're accelerated pretty fast.
What about 6 days?
It's still accelerated. It's accelerated fast. You don't have to put them on your social circle or anything like that. And even if you do, you can put them on a restricted profile so they don't see all your posts. Trust me, I do it a lot. I do it to people all the time.
You're jumping to like Facebook statuses. Stuff.
No, not necessarily. But like socially, it's kind of like dog years, you know? Like it's, you know, your dog is like, oh, my dog's 3, but technically they're 36. You know, like that kind of thing. It depends. Like, if you guys are seeing each other so often within a short span of time, you guys are accelerated pretty quickly.
But also, this because of the texting, like because of now we have texting
and calling.
And calling and FaceTiming. And we have all these instant contact
accelerates
things. That, you know, it's not let me go home, wait for you to call kind of type deal.
Yeah.
So, like, Christina, what are your thoughts?
I think it does definitely accelerate it. I mean, and it's just the littlest things. You know what I mean? Like, maybe after the first 3 dates, you don't even call them dates anymore. You're just going out with them now. You're just hanging out with them, and it's not a date, and we're seeing each other now, and that's just how it is. But you're comfortable. After 3 dates?
That's so quick.
Well, but what if they're like 2 weeks, like 1 week?
What if they're like 6 hours long?
And what if they're like 3 or 4 days apart? You know what I mean? Like if you're with them like a whole day, you know what I mean? And then you're like, oh, I got my buddies tomorrow. I have a football draft. I can't see you. And then the next day I have to bring my sister's dog for a walk. I can't see you till Friday. Yeah, you're going to plan another big date. And then you get more comfortable with it. And I feel like it's easier as you do them. When you go down the line, you know what I mean? Just by, like you said, you're not waiting for them to call you at home. You know what I mean? You go, oh, I'm getting out of work tonight. Do you want to grab something to eat before my softball game? Right. You know what I mean? Or whatever you do, football practice.
So when would you, because of this accelerated kind of life that we live, when would you start to label someone?
I hate to label anybody.
I hate personally. Labeling.
I think labeling is very judgmental. I think my friends wouldn't label me. They would just say, hey, is so-and-so coming with you tonight? Because I need to know how many hot dogs to cook for the grill. Or does he want to come with us? I need to know how many tickets to buy. They already accept him as we're together. They don't say, well, are you coming? Or, you know what I mean? Like, they say...
No, like, is your boyfriend? Or
yeah,
like,
I usually say like,
when do you start the
person
steady?
I'm seeing. Or my friends will use their name.
Yeah. The person I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Isn't
I'm
that,
seeing
like,
that person.
If you're seeing that person, that's not the same as, like, going steady.
I mean, I kind of skipped all those, like, when I was going out with people. I never dated and going... I was just... with them all the time. So people took it how they wanted to, I think. You know what I mean? If you say we're together, fine. If you say we're dating, fine. If my friend says, oh, her and her friend, that's fine. I don't
have a boyfriend. What if someone said, is your boyfriend coming?
You're like, oh, the guy I'm seeing?
That's right. Yeah. I would change
it. Boyfriend
and
is different.
It's not until you and him have that conversation, like, are we doing this? Are we? Do you want to see exclusively? Like, are we...
What if you're both seeing exclusively and not labeling? Like, is it just still seeing?
I say yes because I'm in that modern era of things where I'm like, I'm seeing that person.
And plus, when you hang out with your friends, you might not hang out with them every time you're with your boyfriend.
I feel like the boyfriend's like a family label.
Well, I feel like you're not always with him either. Like, you can go out without your boyfriend.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and people should not expect to be with your boyfriend all the time, girlfriend, whatever. I feel like they shouldn't expect that, but it's up to you to say, oh yeah, me and whoever is gonna come tonight, is that okay? They don't say no or yeah. I mean, they do say no or yeah, but I feel like they don't say, well, he can't come because it's just us. You already know right. that before you go out and do things.
Right.
It's a girl night. I'm not bringing my boyfriend with me. Come on.
Right.
You know what I mean? So yeah, I feel like that's part of it too. Like right. you don't hang out with your friends every day that with your boyfriend, and you don't hang out with your boyfriend's significant other every day either because it's not healthy, obviously.
Right.
So I think, you know, when they say, oh, you know, is your boyfriend coming? How did they know that you weren't on 10 dates with them? You know what I mean?
Right.
So
yeah,
I
yeah.
feel like people that judge just don't know the real picture sometimes, and they kind of jump to conclusions. I mean, and some people might say it and not mean it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So.
So let's bring it back a little bit to like either social media and the Tinder. So when you're when you meet someone on social media and you haven't met them in person yet, obviously over the phone and text could be a very different thing.
Mm-hmm.
So now you meet them in person. Do you know within 60 seconds of meeting that person that you actually want to continue or see them again? Like, when do you know?
Yeah, I feel like there is, the minute you meet them, you could be like, okay, I can do this. Like,
I think it's take it slow. I think that's where you kind of get caught up in things.
But you don't know, like, right away. Like, what if you meet, like, you've been talking to this person on the phone and on text, and all of a sudden,
you see them in person.
You meet him in person, and you're like, Has ever happened?
Well, I think, especially with the social media and Tinder and all that stuff, if they lie as their picture, of course, screw them. Like, oh, you don't look like your picture, screw you, and I would drop them on a dime. I think.
I've actually,
because they're pretending to be someone that they're not.
Right.
I've actually called someone out and be like, well, you look a lot different than your photo. Oh, yeah, I took that photo a few years ago.
Yeah,
like,
so what if someone is
6 feet and you meet them, they're 5'6"?
Well, I'm sure anyway, so realize.
I already know I'm 5'2", so everyone's taller than me, so.
But I feel like if they lie about their appearance or if they do anything to make themselves better or worse or compatible with you, that's kind of awkward to begin with. I, you know what I mean? And like I said, if someone says that they're, I don't know, they have a scruffy beard and they're big built and then they come over and they're skinny with like barely any hair on their face, I'd be like, why would you lie? And I would call them out because apparently they need to know that that's not right. That's not good. You're never going to get a date if you're going to be like that. They need to know.
Right.
And that's how I see it. But I could just, you know, do whatever, I guess. I don't know. That's my reaction, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I went on a date with someone.
That was Tyler, everyone. Yep, Tyler was just, you know, Tyler wants a brownie because Tyler made brownies with peanuts in them. So anybody with a peanut allergy, you cannot have a brownie. So what were you going to say, Bridget?
I mean, I went on a date with a guy, and I wasn't entirely sure if I was attracted to him at first. I mean, his photos were not the best photos on the planet, but I was like, whatever, I'm going. Because I'm bored, and, you know, let's go and see how this works. And I went out with him, and I'm like, wow, he's a lot more attractive than his photos.
Well, see, yeah, you have to see it both ways. I mean, if they, like, are totally different, because there are people out there that look totally different, act totally different than what they portray themselves as being, and it kind of shocks you, you know, and it could be good or bad, but you have to almost be ready for that, I guess.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is I always go into it prepared that it's not going to go well.
Yeah.
And then, you know, this date, even though he was more attractive than his photo, I was like, let's see how this goes out.
Well, you know what I found?
And then on my second date with him, I was like, but then he turned out to be amazing.
And photogenic, I mean, some people are and some people aren't. And I feel like picture's a picture. It's how they really act. You know what I mean? It's
totally. Some people don't photograph well.
Well, I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I don't. You know what I mean? But that's not, if you take a picture of me, you wouldn't even know how I am just because it's very awkward. You know what I mean? Like,
I photograph well.
I don't. I mean, maybe I do. I don't know, but I know I do,
and I photograph well. Like, I can photograph well, and they're like, damn, she's hot. And then you meet me in person, and I don't know what happens, but I do. I know I photograph well. I take selfies. I can look like I'm a size 2. Amazing.
But people, but a lot of people always assume too with the selfies that you've taken 55 of them before you got that one. I don't have to do that. Like, I get like one or two. Oh, that's hot. You should totally do. Yeah.
Snapchat at its best for the selfies. I should have said this guy to the Vikings for the dodgeball. What was I thinking?
They need to recruit you.
We can ask Joey to get their number. Maybe they're on the Tinder.
On the Tinder. So, here's another one.
Yeah.
That's a funny one. Sexting.
Oof. That's tough. Like I said, I feel like it's how the person is. If you feel comfortable with them, sure, why not?
I mean, if like you're talking and it's like the second day and they turn around and like drop like one in there, like, oh wow, that escalated quickly. You know.
Okay, let me just say this. Mm-hmm. I have certain friends that think, I have certain guy friends that think that dick pics are the thing.
Oh my god, no.
Okay. I have certain guy friends that think, okay, I have certain guy friends that are not on, that have girlfriends, right? And they're not in the market. But their perception of guys nowadays are that they just drop them.
Mm-hmm.
And girls just receive like a million of them. And his thought process is that girls save them.
Some of us do, and we share them with our friends and laugh. Because seriously, an unsolicited dick pic, you know, you're going to get shared. Well, let me just tell you right now.
No, I can't even take a picture with clothes on. Okay, never mind. Having my boob hang out. Seriously?
Yeah.
I mean, could never do that. Now, talking about it could be totally different. Okay, that is also my perception. I feel like, yeah, I could say I have D's and be like, oh, here I am, just kidding. But
yeah,
I think it's obviously what the guy, I mean, I'm not going to go tell this geeky guy to go take a picture of his whatever, because he's not going to do that. He's a geeky guy. He'll never do that. He would feel awkward.
No, he would. That's the thing.
I don't know.
I feel like, though, it's one of those things, just like, when do you get to that level where you can talk about it, or you'd be like, hey, you should send me a photo. I would never ask for a dick pic. It's like, nah, I'm good. I've seen it. They don't look alike.
I like the bodies. The whole body.
I want the V or the back dimples.
Whole body. Yeah.
Like the chest down, like to the V. Like, don't send me
a V.
Dick.
Geeks have Vs?
Yes.
They do?
They're skinny. Are you kidding me? Where are you? Where are you two?
I don't like skinny guys.
Well, not all skinny guys have Vs. I mean, there's bigger
like
guys
that
have Vs.
I've right, that's what I'm saying. I still
mean,
like the V.
I don't know.
One of my favorite body parts is the damn V. If you don't have the V, all right.
Well. I am like a chest and back girl. I'm not going to lie to you.
Chest and back? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I am a chest and back girl.
And
a butt. I do like the butt.
I'm an arm.
Like.
Yeah, you need to have something I can grab onto.
I like arms. Is that bad?
Well, I have a big butt, so I just need someone else to grab it, you know?
You got to see their hands, too.
My other butts can't deny.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, but
yeah.
This has to be the longest leash unleashed ever.
This is perfect, though, because people need to know that.
I know. We're like an hour and 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, like, seriously. So we're going to throw this out to our listeners right here.
Woo!
What do you want to hear us talk about in a leash unleashed?
Yeah.
So we always talk about...
We seem to talk about the same shit all the time.
We seem to talk about, like, crazy what's going on in the world and how we're adapting to media in our age. We do. We talk about media in our age and how we're dealing with it and everything. But is there anything that you want to hear us talk about? So it's going to be hashtag unleash topics. So on Twitter, we automatically feed over to Twitter. So tweet us over at hashtag unleash topics. What do you want us to talk about? We'll shout you out in our next podcast. And we'll talk about it. If you want us to give you a call and you want to be a call in, we'll definitely give you, give us your number and we'll definitely call you, and you can phone a friend, phone in, and we'll talk about. So hashtag unleash topics.
Twitter. This is Alicia Unleashed, episode number 23, Michael Jordan. Out.